Let's talk about NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It is among the federal agencies under scrutiny right now under the new Trump administration. NOAA studies and monitors the oceans and the atmosphere, manages fisheries and marine monuments, and critically for all of us here in Southeast Houston, the National Weather Service within it is a free resource of modeling and forecasting, and where every severe weather watch and warning out there comes from. Among those who rely on and share that information is Space City weather meteorologist Eric Berger. In a post Monday, he wrote that, quote, it would be a bad idea to take a hammer and start whacking NOAA and the National Weather Service. I asked him why and what NOAA does that maybe most people don't realize.
The basic starting point for any forecast is understanding the existing conditions around the planet. You know, that's everything from the city of Houston's official temperature station where they record, you know, winds, humidity, temperature, that sort of thing, to weather balloons. Dozens are sent up every 12 hours across the country. NOAA has this, you know, system of buoys around, you know, the oceans around the world. And then, of course, we have a sophisticated satellite constellations in orbit around the planet that they're taking meteorological data all the time. And so NOAA collects all of that data and processes it and shares it freely and publicly. And that's really the basis for all forecasting from computer models to other types of forecasts.
And what do those weather models tell us exactly?
Well, they take all of that data in various ways and for various purposes. They essentially look at those initial conditions and then every 3 or 6 hours predict how that will change over time. And the basic physics equations that we have that the model the behavior of the atmosphere essentially as a fluid, over the course of 7 or 10 days, those models can do a pretty good job of predicting how the Earth's climate or the atmosphere will evolve over that time period. And that really is the basics of a forecast, is a computer model taking all of the initial data collected by NOAA. NOAA is often operating many of these models and then producing the 7-10-day forecasts.
There have been calls, including in the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 document, for privatizing the National Weather Service, which is a part of NOAA. Could that work?
I mean, you could privatize just about anything, but I'm not sure where the profit is to be made in doing a lot of the basic functions that NOAA does. You know, those satellites we talked about are these large, the $1 to $2 billion satellites in geostationary orbit. That is a fundamentally a public activity to design and build and launch those satellites and then collect all of the data and then share it freely. And similarly, you could probably set up a local forecast office that issues warnings and things like that. But the fact is, the system we have now works really well. And NOAA's budget is pretty affordable. It's less than $7 billion a year for everything from weather to climate, to understanding how the planet is changing. You could privatize it, but I'm not sure you could do it much better, more efficiently than it's being done now.
The work that you describe that NOAA and the National Weather Service does, couldn't the public just rely on the Weather Channel or AccuWeather or local TV news weather people to do all that?
Or Space City Weather, Craig.
Right.
So the problem with that is that all of that data that NOAA collects and the weather models that they produce are the starting points for our forecasting. You know, the Weather Channel is getting a lot of its data, not all of it, but a lot of its data from NOAA. It's getting a lot of its modeling, not all of it, from NOAA. Most private weather services take the government, the data and information from the government and basically tailor it to their audience. You know, the National Weather Service, which is part of NOAA, has a very basic mission. It's to warn local residents of serious weather calamities. So they issue tornado warnings, they issue freeze warnings, hurricane warnings. That is their mission, to save lives through better understanding of the weather. And then on top of that, there is a lot of private weather forecasting that gets done. One of my favorite examples is that, you know, Target wants to know when the wind speeds are going to be above, say, 25 or 30 miles per hour because it knows to bring in all the grocery carts so they're not blowing around the parking lot. But that's not what the National Weather Service does. That's sort of an add-on that the private industry does. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of the private forecasts you see kind of have a concrete bedrock of data and information provided by NOAA and the National Weather Service.
A lot of scrutiny focuses on NOAA's climate research efforts specifically. Do you see, is there a distinction between that work and the rest of the forecasting that the National Weather Service does, or is it all interrelated?
Well, it's certainly all interrelated. The data that that is being collected to understand the initial conditions of the atmosphere today, all of those satellites that we talked about, is used both for climate models, which run over years and decades, and weather models, which run over hours and days. And so all of that is kind of part and parcel of the same data set. And now certainly there are things that the climate part of NOAA does that is not germane to weather forecasting. But when NOAA does its annual sort of state of the planet or gives us the average temperature or gives us historical data, I mean, it is very important to understand when we're setting record high temperatures or having other abnormal weather to compare it to past events. And that is all data collected and maintained by NOAA. And that gives us high confidence that, you know, we're comparing apples to apples when we look at, you know, weather. And frankly, you know, if we're going to understand short-term forecasting, we really need to understand the background of whether or not the planet is warming to really put it all into one context. Like, yes, the weather arms and the climate arms of NOAA have distinct and different missions, but it all goes together to understand the world on which we're living and how the atmosphere is changing and how that affects us on a day-to-day basis in terms of weather.
Not that anybody is specifically calling for this, but how would it impact Southeast Texas if, say, the National Weather Service, Houston, Galveston office were suddenly closed in the name of government efficiency?
Well, that would be pretty awful because the radar that we all look at when there's severe storms is operated by NOAA right at their office in League City. So if you lose that radar, you lose an incredibly powerful tool in understanding weather, and that would be really a catastrophic loss. There are forecasters that are working there 24 hours a day, and so it's always good to get a sense of second opinion on what the weather is doing and what they think. They issue all of the warnings that are the basis for hurricane evacuations, for opening cooling centers, you know, when it's really hot, or warming centers when it's really cold. I mean, the whole emergency management system relies on their warnings locally. You know, it would be huge. Lives would be lost, Craig. I mean, it's kind of the fundamental component of weather forecasting in our areas. It starts with the local forecast office.
Let's also talk about historical context. NOAA was established in 1970. What was weather forecasting like prior to that?
Well, it's interesting. 1970 is about the time you got a couple of big changes in forecasting. You were starting to get more sophisticated computer modeling. It was very rudimentary then compared to now, but you were starting to get more widespread adoption of being able to make computer forecasts. And at the same time, we also started to get satellite data in the 1960s and especially the 1970s to really understand our planet on a holistic basis. And so NOAA kind of was created to synthesize all that, to make sure we were getting the information from satellites that we needed, and then to have the ability to model that all going forward.
You, of course, focus on hype-free forecasts on your site, but you did write about this on Monday. What prompted you to weigh in on the value of NOAA and the National Weather Service within it?
Well, you know, in recent days, there have been some stories, and we have Matt Lanz and my partner and I have colleagues in the government forecasting, and there have been, you know, there's been talk of 20% cuts, 40% cuts, pretty significant staff cuts at NOAA. And really the point we both wanted to make is that, look, you know, I'm sure there's government waste and within NOAA as well, but this organization provides valuable services that impact the lives of people, everyone in this country. And so we just wanted to highlight some of the value that they provide to this community and to the country as a whole.
That's meteorologist Eric Berger, editor of Space City Weather. You can read his thoughts about NOAA and the National Weather Service at spacecityweather.com.